Welcome to Impact Ministries World Changer Weekend 2014. This is session number 12, and your speaker is Alan Spiegel.
Well, I tell you, I love Jimmy. He eats, lives, and breathes people. He's a good guy. Hey, I want to say this to you as world changers. The church that our kids started, Jim and Brenda were gracious enough to let them use this building for 9 months to meet with their launch team. Rent-free. Wouldn't take anything. And today, because of Jim, Brenda, and you, there's a church just a few miles away from here that started 6 weeks ago that's already having 130 to 150 people in it every Sunday. People are getting saved, and your investment was a huge part of that. And so I say for our children and for the people that are getting touched over there in Madison, thank you. And thank you, Jim, Brenda, for just opening it up. For 9 months, they met here on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock with their team. And so you are part of that. So thank you. Amen. Well, God is good. Yeah, I tell you, I don't know of anybody, and I say this to Jimmy, that I don't know anybody that has more passion for people than he does. It's just amazing, Jimmy. Thank you, man. You always challenge me to love people at another level every time I hear you get around you. And I appreciate you, and Sherry, and what you do. Well, Father, we thank you. You so loved us that you sent Jesus for us. So tonight, Father, we open our heart to what Jimmy said. Lord, that we could be preaching the gospel without using words, a walking love for people. Father, thank you. Thank you. You know, just keep your heads bowed just for a moment. You know, I don't know about you, but there's some things that Jimmy said that really just jumped up big in my heart. And when that happens, there's something God really wants to speak to you about. Lay hold of that. Do something with that. Because you are the answer to somebody's prayer. You're the answer to somebody's heart cry. So, Father, we thank you for it tonight. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you some more about staying focused in difficult times. You know, there's some lessons I learned when I was young that I was able to apply during this process, this thing that we went through. And, you know, with our move, you know, I talked about last night looking at Jesus and seeing the Father. This morning talked about seeing yourself the way that God sees you. And so I want to share some things with you also that I applied out of some things I learned through experience in the past. And let me just say this first. The older you get, the more you realize certain things. You know, the older you get, the more you realize that what you thought was important is not important. You know? The older you get, the more you realize that people is more important than things. You know? We that are, got some miles on us, you know, we're looking how to scale our lives back. Younger people are trying to figure out how to expand their life. And so the older you get, the more you realize what you thought was important is not as important as you thought it was. And as you get older, the more you realize how dumb you were when you were young. You know it? And you realize how fast time really goes by. Man, it's hard to believe we've been up here for 10 months now. We're there for 20 and a half years, and it didn't seem like that could be possible. I was talking to several people that were part of the ministry here when we were here the years, and what a lot of great meetings we had in this room. And if sometimes we just have to slow down and really enjoy the moment and the process of where we are. And I know, going back to something I was going to say earlier and I forgot it, but But it had not been for Jim and Brenda coming along in our lives when they did in 89. Actually, they came along in 87. But we moved here in 89 because I was burned out. I didn't want anything to do with pastoring again. And, you know, I'll just go to church and be nice. And that's my, I don't want to do any, I don't want to preach again. I don't want to counsel again. I don't want to do anything again. I just want to go to church and be nice. So we started driving 50-something miles to church here. And one Sunday, again, I was never going to preach again. Jim was going to be out of town in a couple of weeks, and he said, "Hey, man, would you preach for me on a certain Sunday?" And I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do that. But I thought, well, I'll help him out. But looking back at it, I know it was to help him, but also he was setting me up, because he knew that if I would get back involved, that something would spark in my heart, and it did, and I'm forever grateful and for what we learned while we were here. And because of that, we now do what we do with our ministers organization. And in just a few weeks, we'll be going to Africa, and I'll be speaking to hundreds of pastors and in a Bible college there in Lusaka, Zambia. And so as I go, Jim don't care so much about going to those places anymore. So those long trips get tough on you. And so I go, and so he goes with me. And thank you, Jim, for the investment in our lives. And because I wouldn't be in the ministry today, and I didn't plan on really saying all this, but I wouldn't be in the ministry today. I really believe that with all my heart. And if I was still in the ministry today, I'd be a legalistic idiot, because that's where I was. And so, but there's lessons that I've learned through the years that I applied during this time that we went through. And one is, if you're going to stay focused during difficult times, you've got to look for something good every day. The truth is, and we'd say this in our church all the time, your life is a whole lot better than you think it is. Your life is a whole lot better than you think it is. There's somebody to trade places with you. You think your life sucks and it's bad, but there's somebody that would trade places with you. I'm not taking away from the fact that it may be tough right now. But so often we get so focused on what's not right, we forget what's good. And so your life is a lot better than you think it is. And so it's really easy to get sucked into the negativism, and just all you see is what's wrong instead of what's right. And that's what the writer of Proverbs said. He said that he that has a crooked heart finds no good. You can't find any good. You can't see any good in anything. Nothing good ever happened to me, and it's all bad. But that's not really reality. And you show me somebody who's negative, and I'll show you somebody more likely that's hanging out with a lot of negative people. Being negative is contagious. It infects you, and it infects other people. And so we tend to, when we get negative, you ever notice this? Let's be honest. You ever notice when you get negative, you don't want to be around positive people? You want to be around people who will agree with you. It's bad. Yeah, it's bad. I don't know if I'm going to make it. No, you're not going to make it. I know four people that went through that. They didn't make it either. You're not going to make it. I feel so stupid. Well, you are. And so we tend to hang out with people that are like us. So we tend, when we start getting negative, we tend to withdraw ourselves from people that could really help us. When we're going through tough spots, we don't need people to agree with us. We need people to tell us the truth and to help us. We need to do that. I remember years ago, we're pastoring in Florida, and I was stressed. I don't know if you've ever been really stressed about finances or not, but I know Jim can't identify with this, but you wake up, like in a cold sweat and thinking, dang, I wish I hadn't woke up, because you got to face the pressures of the finances that day. And I was stressed out of my mind. I was about over the edge. We had about 150, 175 people, and we moved out of like a 6,000-foot building and bought a 23,000 square foot building, which is not huge, but we bought this building where our payment went from like $1,500 a month to $6,500 a month. Like 1 month to the next. I kind of thought, if you buy it, they'll come. And they didn't at first. And so I was stressed out of my mind. I remember one day I went home at lunch and talking about people, you need to find somebody to tell you the truth. And I married somebody like that, And so I got home at lunch one day, and And Janice, you know, sat down on the couch there in the living room. She said, "Well, how are things?" "Oh, it's not any better. Not any better." "Well, it's going to get better. God's God, you know, and it's going to get better." And, you know, and just trying to be encouraging. And you know, she said, I said, "Yeah, that's easy for you to say. You're not the one everything stops on your desk." She walked over to me and she stuck her little finger in my chest. And now I don't know if you've heard Janice talk yet, but she makes Paula Deen sound like she's from Boston. Well, you heard her on the video last night. "Let me tell you something, big boy." I mean, she's punching me in the chest. "You better get a hold of God and get a hold of what you believe, and let's just quit this and do something else. I'm not going to live this way." I tell you, it made me so mad. I really did want to slap her. I mean, so I got up, went out, slammed the doors, and went out, and I thought, I'm going back to the office. And if anybody, I can't fire her, but if anybody says anything, I'm firing them right on the spot. Heard Jim say a long time ago, the truth that offends you the most is the one you need the most. She offended me. I went in, didn't go in the office, went straight to the auditorium. I sat down on this side. And I said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore." He said, "I never meant for you to." And I don't know, you know, God's God, and I don't know how he does stuff, but he showed me every, you know, well, he asked me a question first. He said, are you stressed because of lack of finances or because you can't control this? And just like that, he showed me every major stressful situation I'd ever been through. And it was never about the situation. It was because something I couldn't control. So then after my wife poked me in the chest, God told me I was a control freak. You know, I wish I could say, you know, and I did, I released it. I wish I could say I walked out of the auditorium and there was a $100,000 check. It didn't happen that way. But we did pay a 20-year mortgage off in 9.5 years. We were able to do that. And, you know, when you're really stressed, and during that time, I mean, I remember walking through the building, stressed out of my mind. And the Lord just showed, and just really began to show me, you know what, there was a time you didn't have a telephone in your office. There was a time you didn't have a computer. Now look at all these, there's a time you didn't have this sound equipment. You forget all the good things in your life when you get stressed if you're not very careful. And you have to be very intentional about looking at the good things in your life. Looking at the things in your life that are good, and there are a lot of things that are good in your life. Because when you get negative, you know, you start infecting other people, you know, you start drawing negative people to you, people that are negative begin to gravitate toward you. And it's like in Numbers 13, verse 32, it says, "And so the majority," and the spies go out, "the majority report of the spies was negative." This is from the Living Bible. It says, "The land is full of warriors. The people are powerfully built." We saw the sons of Anak there, the descendants of the ancient race of the giants. That's what he says. He says, "And we fell like grasshoppers before them, and they were all so tall." Now listen to this. "And then all the people began weeping aloud." And I don't know why this is, may not be funny to you, but this is funny to me every time I read it. It says, "And all the people began weeping aloud, and they carried on all night." It's like the 10 came back whining and complaining and got everybody to whining and complaining, and they cried and carried on all night. It's kind of like a dog barking. One dog in the community starts barking. Before you know it, all of them are barking, but only one knows why they're really barking. Isn't that true? And that's the way it was with it, and that's the way it is with negativism. Hey, let me just throw this out to you. This has really nothing to do with what I was going to talk about. But don't jump on somebody's opinion of other people, and just because your friend got offended at so-and-so, don't take that attitude toward them. Don't take that attitude toward them. Because you'll be like one of those people who carried on all night. The 10 spies should have kept their negativism to themselves and taken it to their leaders, not spreading that poison, not spreading it around and doing what they did. Another thing that I've learned through the years, and I'm still really challenged with this one, is to slow down and enjoy life. slow down and enjoy life. I have lived most of my life. I'm getting better. I still need some therapy for it. But I've lived most of my life uptight and stressed out about things. You know what I realized since I'm not pastoring anymore? I was addicted to stress. I liked being stressed. I didn't know it. Because after I come out from pastoring, all of a sudden I don't have anything to be stressed about anymore. You know what? If that's where your heart is, you'll create situations to stress you. And so I realized, you know, we really need to slow down and enjoy life a little more, you know? In John 10:10, the Amplified, it says, I came that they may have and enjoy life. You know, a lot of people, everybody has a life, but not everybody's enjoying it. I've come that you may have life and you might enjoy it. Enjoy life. Have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. One translation says, I've come that you might have a real life. A real life. Somehow in the process of becoming adults, we lost our edge for adventure. When we that have a few miles on us, when we started to school, we all got a pack of crayons. Remember the 8 colors? We had a crayon. You know that to people that are in their 50s and above, the smell of crayons is one of the most recognizable smells to them. You can almost smell it now. So we started school with a pack of crayons, and we finished with a number 2 pencil. And somewhere between the 1st grade and the 12th, we lost our creativity. It's like one person said, because they taught us to color between the lines. And somewhere along the line, we stopped living because we're adults now. I mean, before I got saved, I thought any believer that I saw, I mean, that was happy, you know, I thought they've got to be doing something wrong. Because most of the Christians that I knew, they were sad looking. They were like that anemic picture of Jesus, you know. I mean, they were sad looking. So I don't have a lot of regrets. I mean, I'm not saying I hadn't made mistakes. I don't have a lot of things and a lot of regrets in my life. But I do have this regret is if I could go back, I would not want to live so uptight. And during this process that we went through to stay focused, I had to slow down some. You know, I'm not, I don't even know how to do it. I'm kind of socially dysfunctional, you know, and have some social anxieties and things. And no, really, I do. Serious, I do. And I do okay in a room like this with a lot of people, but you put me in a little room with a lot of people, I might have a panic attack really quick. And I don't understand all that. Somebody said, well, how did you pastor for 31 years? I said, Grace and my wife. She did the social stuff. She's the fun person. We were in California a few years ago, a little something funny that happened. And Janet was doing a church anniversary, 30-year church anniversary for a church. And so it was a Saturday night youth rally thing they were having. So a lot of youth there. And so they wanted one of us to speak. So I thought, well, Janet will do better speaking to teenagers than me. I'm not so good at it, you know. So she does good. And so she was speaking. I was sitting over here. And so she's up talking about making your life count. And if you've ever met Janice, it's hard to believe this, but with her personality, she attempted suicide 3 times when she was young. So she was talking to these teenagers about making your life count, do something with your life. And she said, now this was a few years ago. And she said, because one day you'll wake up and you'll be 53 years old like I am. And I said, babe, you're 54. And she said, no, 53. I said, no, you're 54. So we argued for a few minutes, so we got back that night. We're staying with the pastor was in their guest room, and so we lay down and go to bed. And she said, "So really, for real, I'm 54." And I said, "Yeah, you're 54." And she said, "You promised." And so I got my phone out, got the calculator, said, "Okay, we're born. This is a year, and minus the year we were born. What does that say? 54." And so she was like, "Huh? Well, wow." Well, She said, I guess if I had it to do over, I should have. Now, understand, I've known her since the 3rd grade. I'm thinking, I know about everything she's done, I hope. I'm thinking, I hope she's not going to spill something I don't know, you know. Just keep it between you and God, baby. Don't care. It's like somebody said, do you know what your kids did when they were teenagers? No, and I don't want to know. I know enough. Amen, Brenda, we know enough what our kids did. We don't want to know anything else. That's right. Wait, we know way too much. Well, 54 really? I said, yeah, she's well, I guess if I mean, I'm bracing myself right now. I'm nervous. Well, I guess if I had it to do over with and live it again, I should have rode more rides at the fair. I'm like, what? Your regret is you should have rode more rides at the fair? And I laughed till I cried. I said, what? I mean, I can't even wrap my head around why you would say that. Well, shit, you know how it was with teenagers. I was scared to ride the rides at the fair. Now I got vertigo when I can't. She said, in other words, I should have had more fun. I thought, how can anybody have more fun than she's had, you know? Years ago, we were under a lot of stress in ministry, and I remember we were sitting on the bed, and Janice said, when is the last time we laughed? When is the last time that we did anything but talk about ministry? When's the last time we, because we'd always laughed, when's the last time we really laughed about something? All we talk about is what's wrong and all about the ministry. You know, we made a decision then, and I've had to really work at reinforcing this, that we go home, we don't talk about ministry. Our kids have come to the house with his pastor, and both of our daughters and their husbands work with us. Hey, Dad, what about? No, we're not talking about that now. Let's wait till we get to the office. Let's talk about something. We need to talk about that stuff at work. We're not talking about it now. Because you can let whatever it is with your life, you can let your business, you can let your trouble with your kids, you can let whatever it is, your ministry, you can let stuff just take your life over till you don't even have a life anymore. You don't have a life anymore. So sometimes you got to slow down and decide, I'm going to enjoy life again. One time I was flying somewhere and was living in Florida, so I'd fly out of Orlando, and I'm flying somewhere, and I'm just thinking, you know, I'm busy and whatever, you know, and all that stuff. And the Lord really ministered my heart and said, I mean, we live 30 miles to Orlando. Well, I said that one time, and a little boy said, I was in church, said, does Mickey Mouse go to your church? And I said, well, And Lord Minister Mark, I mean, we were an hour and 15 minutes to Daytona Beach. In 20 years, I probably went maybe 10 times, maybe. And Lord Minister Mark, people save all their life to have one vacation to come to where you live. You won't even go. I still didn't go, but. See, as adults, we get so busy pursuing the good life, we miss it. We miss the good life. You know, often the real me got left on a playground somewhere. We stopped dreaming. Listen to this in Matthew 11:29, the Amplified. It says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, humble, and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest, relief, and ease, refreshment, and recreation. And blessed quiet for your souls. I like that. What it says, you'll find recreation. In other words, you'll have a recreation of your soul. You know, something that will be made new in your emotions again. If you slow down. We tell couples this all the time. We do a marriage workshop we start doing called Love That Lasts. And we say this. You know, you'll either invest money in doing something with your spouse or you'll use that money on an attorney. Either way, you're going to spend the money. You better decide which way you want to spend it, because you will do it, one way or the other. Now, notice Jesus said in that verse, come to me and I will recreate your life. I'll give you your life back. I'll let you start enjoying things again. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6-8, in the Message Bible says, It says, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 6 through 8, one handful of peaceful repose is better than two fistfuls of worried work, which is like spitting in the wind. Why am I working all day like a dog? I turn my head and saw yet another wisp of smoke on its way to nothingness. A solitary person, completely alone. This guy's in really bad shape right now. No children, no family, no friends, yet working obsessively late into the night, compulsively greedy for more and more, never bothering to ask, why am I working like a dog? Why am I not having any fun? And besides that, he says, who even cares? Who even cares? Let me challenge you. Stay in focus. You got to slow down. You got to slow down and enjoy life, really, because you got to get your heart back in peace. You got to get to the place where that you can hear God again. You get so focused on your problems, you can't hear God again because there's so much turmoil going on in your heart. You can't hear God. And you don't see the solutions. Another thing that I've learned that I really had to focus on this during this time was don't miss the point of life. You know what the point of life is? First of all, it's people. It's people. You know, life will never be fulfilling without relationships. I don't need anybody. Okay. Now, I'm just kind of a loner. I understand that because I'm kind of that way too. But we need people. That's the Bible says. You know, we believe the Bible. Everybody say, I believe the Bible. God said it's not good for us to be alone. You know, it's not good. And so in Luke, it says, in Luke 6:38, it says, in the Message Bible, it says, give your life away. And he says, you'll find life given back to you. Not just given back to you, but given back to you with bonus and blessing. In Genesis 2:18, this is that verse. I love the Message Bible. It says, and God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper and a companion. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 in the New Living says, think of ways to encourage one another to outburst of love and good deeds. So, when you really get in difficult moments, it's really easy to just start living for yourself and forget about people. But we were designed to get the most out of life as we give our life away. And so during this time of recovering and you know, not losing my focus during this difficulty where we're going through, you know, I had to start realizing, you know what? It's about people. And so, you know, and Jimmy said it. You know, we pastored for 31 years, so we're basically all of our buddies were Christians. And so now it's like, okay, I've got an opportunity to be around a lot of people who are not Christians, so I want to enjoy the process. And that's one of the things I really enjoyed about this process with the TV thing we're doing, the people that we've got to help. But it's about people, and don't get so focused on your problems that you forget about people. You know, they need it, but let me tell you something, you need it. You need to give your life away. You need to invest your life in somebody else. And if you're going to keep your focus and stay focused during difficult times, you have got to invest your life in people. And then the other thing that we can't forget about is really our purpose. Our purpose. Paul said in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 in the Amplified, he says, now you have closely observed and diligently followed my teaching, my conduct, listen to this, and my purpose in life. You know, you were created, someone said, you're created with purpose, on purpose, by God. I like what one place in the Message Bible, it says that everybody's been given something to do that shows who God is. It says variety is wonderful. Everybody's got something to do that shows who God is. And last thing, and I'm out of time here, but in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, we number the days to everything. It's only 43 days and a half to vacation. We number to vacations, weddings, conferences, births, everything under the sun. Our days are numbered. And if we're not investing our life in the right things, we can't stay focused. Because by the design of God, as I said, we were designed to give our lives away. And as we give our life away, as I said, we find life given back to us. We don't get a do-over. We get one shot at this thing. And it's done. And so, I said it earlier. Somebody's heart's crying for you. But you know what? Your heart's crying to give your heart to them, your life to them. Because as you do that, you start having your own emotional breakthroughs. Don't, when you go through difficulty, don't just get inward focused. Don't just allow what's happening to you to control your life. Keep giving your life away. Enjoy life. Enjoy life. Slow down a little bit. Slow down a little bit. I mean, Janice will read joke books by herself and laugh. She does karaoke by herself and laughs. Amen. God bless you.